This episode of The Compendium is sponsored by the Deck of Stories Kickstarter. The Deck of Stories is a fresh new storytelling system that helps you to create a legendary adventure in just 15 minutes, so you can spend less time prepping D&D and more time actually playing. Check it out on Kickstarter.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So prone is next up on the list. This one I am familiar with mostly because of combat scenarios. This is very, very prevalent in combat, but obviously it applies to other situations as well. And prone is basically a fancy word to say that you're on the ground. So you're either sitting, you're laying face first, you're just not like standing at the ready. Is that right, exactly. About right?
Yeah, it's also my favorite yoga move, Shavasana, which is where you just lay on the ground. So prone basically just means that they're on the ground. They can still move, and it says that they can crawl unless they stand up. So there's two things with that. If you stand up from the prone condition, it costs you half your movement. So if you had 30, now you only have 15 left. And there's some class and racial abilities that kind of get around this. But typically just to stand up from laying down is going to cost you half your movement, or you could crawl, which is very, very funny. But it basically adds, 1 foot for every 1 foot you move. So you're basically, if you want to move 15 feet, it's going to cost you all 30 of your feet in your movement to do that. Now, here's the crazy thing. If you're choosing to crawl through difficult terrain, both of those things add 1 for every 1 that you moved. So basically you only get 10 feet now of movement. So it reduces your movement by a third, by 2/3, not, by 4 as someone would think, because difficult terrain doesn't cut your movement in half. It adds 1 for every 1, and crawling adds 1 for every 1, not cutting it in half. So you don't have a quarter, you have a third, just as a little pro tip there.
That's really useful. Like, I had always wondered, like, why don't people just say it's half? Like, come on. It takes so much less time, but it's not half. And that's why it matters. And now I know this.
Yeah. And also, too, what is a quarter of 30 feet?
Yeah, right. Pull out your calculators.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, it's 7.5. I know. But when you do it by thirds, and most characters have 30 feet of movement, awesome. That makes it nice and clean, nice and simple. So yeah, that's why I like that. It also means that you have disadvantage on your attack rolls because you're laying on the ground trying to swipe at somebody's ankles. But an attack roll against a creature has advantage if they're up close. Otherwise, it has disadvantage. So what's really nice here is that you could choose to be prone if you're like, say, an archer. You're going to lay down on the ground and you're going to be like a sniper and you're going to shoot your bow and arrow. For them to return fire against you, they're either going to have to get up to you or they're going to have to shoot arrows as well. But now they have disadvantage on the attack. And so this is meant to be either a bad or a good thing, depending on how you use it and what caused it. So that's kind of a fun way to use prone as well.
That makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought about using it for the like strategic side of things.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fun. So you want to move on to restrained?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
All right. So restrained is interesting because this is the one that I think people get grappled confused with. It also reduces your speed to 0 and you can't make that number go up at all until it's over. But here it has additional effects. Restrained also means that attack rolls against the creature have advantage and your attack rolls have disadvantage and you have disadvantage on your dex saving throws. So you're held back, you can still attack, but it's hard to do now. And so it's hard for you to attack and it's hard for you to get out of the way because you can't really get anywhere. And so it adds some additional difficulties to you.
Yeah, I like in the book, it's actually got an illustration of somebody stuck in a gigantic spider web.
Yep, that
like,
would do it.
That's a really, again, like my brain tends to, when I hear these words, think of our common situations that you might find this in. So that really opens kind of the birth of what is available to you when you're talking about this condition, especially if you're homebrewing a lot of this stuff. Cause I feel like that's where it comes in for me is I'm not reading it off of a pre-existing card. I'm trying to assign conditions based off of like scenarios that have randomly cropped up like they do.
Yeah. And that's why it's so nice that they've codified these as conditions, because like you said, if we just use these words in our normal meaning of things, there's a denotation, a specific definition, and there's the connotation. Well, what does restrained mean to you? I might use restrained meaning grappled, and you might use restrained meaning, no, you're tied up and you got a bag over your head. Like, so by having these to refer back to, we all know exactly what we mean when we say these words, which is really nice.
So second to the last on the list is stunned. I have never used this one.
So stunned is great. This is a, early on monks can get the stunning strike, that they can use with their key points, which is kind of fun. So stunned, again, a stunned creature is incapacitated as the condition. They can't move and they can speak only falteringly, which I get what they're saying, but also if I can only speak falteringly, can I still cast a spell with a verbal component? How faltering is that? And it doesn't say here. And I'm sure Jeremy Crawford has gone somewhere online to identify that. But I would probably say if it doesn't specifically call it out, then it's not that case. But so basically it slows you down so that you're incapacitated. You can't move and you can only speak just a little bit, like short, like warnings perhaps. And again, the creature automatically fails strength and dexterity saving throws, and attack rolls against that creature have advantage.
So how would you stunned sounds semi-similar to some of the other conditions. So can you help compartmentalize them for me a little bit?
Yeah. So I think this one with stunned is more like what you had ventured to guess with earlier, with having like the wind knocked out of you. Okay. Which makes a lot of sense, especially if you consider that the monks can do this a lot, where they can like strip, you know, punch you in your solar plexus and you're just, and you can't move. You can't take actions. You can kind of like, I'm okay. You know, kind of speak falteringly, but it's also going to really hurt you in combat as well. So I think stunned, really the easiest way to think of it is getting the wind knocked out of you.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode of The Compendium. If you haven't already done so, it would really help us out if you took a moment to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review. Jason and I really enjoy creating this content, and it definitely helps boost our charisma modifier every time we see a 5-star rating pop up. The Compendium is actually also on Patreon, so if you like listening, that is a great way to help contribute to the content that we create. New episodes are available every Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Thursday if you're a patron on our Patreon account. And you can always keep up with us between episodes by following us on social media. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.